Why do we preach what we preach? That's the only thing we got. That's the only thing we got. When we see Christ as He is, revealed in Holy Scripture, and we see ourselves as we are, revealed in Holy Scripture, we have nothing else to preach. We have nothing else to preach. Turn with me, if you would, to John chapter 17. I've got three astonishing statements that we find written in God's Word. And as I was looking at these, most men would call this blasphemy, but it's here in God's Word, so it's safe to preach. It's safe to preach. The first statement I want to look at is John 17 and verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou, here's the statement, thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. What a statement. What a statement. Our Lord Jesus Christ is telling His people, the Father loves you with the same love He loves me. How can that be? How can this be? Knowing something about who we are and what we are in this flesh. And if this was not written in Holy Scripture, I would dare not speak it. But it is. So that gives us the free course to declare unto God's people, God loves you. There's the sign when you come into Dingus. If you come in one way, there's a big church there. And out on the front of their, they've got one of these digital signs. It runs notes across it. The sign says, "Welcome to Dingus. God loves you." That's not true. You might be coming to Dingus, but the other part's not true. God loves Christ. And only those that are in Christ. So when we tell men, smile, God loves you, we're telling them a lie. We're making God a liar because He don't love everybody the same. But men will not have it. They will not have it. Oh, but let us cherish what God tells us. Let us read in His Word and find these things that tells us how He sets His love upon us, why He sets His love upon us, and how He demonstrates His love to us. The Father loved me as the Father loved His Son. Can I get a hold of that? Do I know even how to start to describe God's love? God's love is infinite, holy, righteous, and true love. If He ever loved you, He always loved you. Before I was ever created, or before I was ever born, whatever how I come to be, God said, I have loved you. And He put me in Christ way back here. Way back here. Before the foundation of the world, the Scripture tells us. He put me in Christ. But I didn't know it. I had no idea of it. I went about in false religion. I went about satisfying the flesh. I went about doing all manner of things. But then, one day, as Walter said, God revealed something to us. I hear men say, oh, remember this message, just like Walter said. I don't. I don't remember. I remember knowing what I was doing in religion was not right. I knew that the Free Will Baptist was getting ready to start ordaining women for the pulpit. I knew that wasn't right. That's not according to Scripture. But I didn't know what was right.
Right.
I knew that was wrong. And I knew that what we was doing by attempting to pay our way into the very presence of God was not right. But what is right? What is right? How is the acceptable way to worship God? How is the acceptable way to approach a holy God? Then he began to teach me. Matthew records it this way. And lo, the voice of heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." You hear him. You hear him. Push aside these other things that does so easily distract us. Push these things aside and let us look to Christ. Let us worship him. Let us lean on him. The Father loved the Son in creation. He said, "Let us." Who was he talking to? Way back here. He said, "Let us make man." He's talking to the Son. He's talking to the Spirit of God, the triune God, saying, "Let us make man." So that he created man. He created male and female, created he them. The Father loved the Son when he took upon him our humanity. He said, "For this purpose came I into the world. I came to take the sinner's place. I come, God in human flesh." No one can explain that. No one can explain how Christ died on the cross, but yet God was still alive in heaven. That's unexplainable, because this is the work of God. We see through a glass dimly or darkly. We get a glimpse every now and then of how God loves me when he sheds his mercy and his grace and his affection upon me, but it's soon forgotten. The Father loved the Son while he walked here upon this earth. Oh, how the Father loved the Son. Luke describes it this way. "And the Holy Ghost descended in a bodily shape of a dove upon him, and a voice came from heaven, God the Father testifying of the love that he has for the Son. Thou art my beloved Son. In thee I am well pleased." The Father always loved the Son. He always did.
Yes,
oh, how the Father loved the Son, even when he was made sin.
Right. Yes.
Made sin. The Father, men hollered, "Oh, God so loved the world. The world of all humanity, with no exception. And he sent Christ to die for him." That's not so. That's not true. It's not so.
Right.
God loved the people, yes. But that people was a people that God chose just before, like the children of Israel was a type and a picture of them. We are the seed of God. We are the children of God. Because God has shown us the light of the gospel and the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we see him. And unless we see him unmistakably for who he is.
Right. Yeah.
Who he is. Then we will pass over these things. There's thousands and thousands of people in the world today with the name of Jesus or Jose in Mexico. But they have no power to save. Only this one Son of God who took upon him flesh in the room instead of his people. And he came and he lived. Most people believe 33 some years. He walked this earth with his disciples. He led them. He taught them. He gave them an understanding of who he is. And then even his closest disciples. Peter said, "I don't know the man." Left to himself. Left to himself. And it's the same way with you and I. We as a dog would return to its vomit.
Yeah, we would. Yes, sir.
We as pigs would turn to the wallowing in the mire.
Yes,
we as self-righteous religion would go back.
Yeah.
Except God says, "No, you're mine. You're mine. I will not let you go." The Father loved the Son when he stood in the room instead of his people. Although the justice of God demanded he must be killed. He must be slaughtered. He must be forsaken. Now, I don't understand that either. How could God forsake himself? I don't. But he did, according to Scripture. I mean, if it's not in Scripture, don't preach it. But God forsook God. Our Lord cried on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? We know now that it was because of sin.
Right.
We know now that God must, I want to use the word withdraw, but I don't know if that's the right word or not. Where God is, there's life.
Yes.
And in order for life to be gone out, God must be absent. Because where God is, there's life. He says, I am life. But for an instant, for a time, he withdrew to the point that the life went out of the very Son of God. Life went out of his flesh. And he died. He physically died.
Yes, sir.
Because that's exactly what sin, curse, desired. Sin's curse demanded. The soul that sinned, it shall die.
Right.
And there he died. Under the wrath and penalty of God, but all the time, God loved him. God loved him. God's love is not like mine and yours. God loved the Son not as a man loves his dog. I watched Paul and Paula with their dog Clyde. They love that dog, but that's not God's love. That dog will soon pass away, I'm sure, and they may even forget about him in a few years. But not so with God. Not so with God. Jeremiah said, the Lord of old has appeared unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. That's God's love.
Amen.
That's the way God loves. That's the way that God loves the Son. And that's the way that God loves every one of his people in Christ. In Christ. That's the whole hinge of the whole thing. What is my standing in Christ? Am I in Christ or am I outside of Christ? Do I look to Christ? Do I worship Christ? Or do I serve the law of sin? That is the standing that God looks upon. And if he sees me in Christ, his love is set upon me because he's put me there for the very point of loving me. God loved me not merely as a creature that he created, like a man would love his dog or a mere descendant of Adam. God loved to a point. Now, I don't want to misconstrue this. God's mercy is over all human race to a point. Not his saving mercy, not his saving grace. The example is it rains on the just and the unjust. The fields, the farmer, an unjust farmer can go plant a field. And a righteous man can plant a field. Both fields grow. Why is that? Why is that? The same sun that hits the righteous man's field hit the unrighteous man's field.
Yes, sir.
So they say that that's God's love. It may be to a point, but it's not saving love.
Exactly.
It's not a holy love as he has towards his son and those that are in his son.
Right.
I don't know how to explain that, but that's the way it is.
Right.
But God loves me in Christ as he loves his only begotten son. What a statement.
Yep.
What a statement. No wonder the old hymn writer wrote, how can it be that God should love a soul like me?
Yep.
And the answer sings forth, only in Christ.
Yep.
Only in the Son can God love anyone.
Amen.
Our Lord prayed in John chapter 17 and verse 20. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which thou shalt believe on me through their name. God sees His people. All of His people. Every one of them. Old Testament, New Testament, Jew and Gentile. He sees them in Christ. And that's how He loves them. That's the reason He loves them. That's the result of His love, for putting them in Christ. He says that they all may be made one. They're one. You and I are one with God in Christ.
Right.
I don't understand that. I know something about who this flesh is.
Yeah.
And it boggles my mind to think that I am one with God.
Yes, sir.
But it's so. It's so.
Yes,
sir. That they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in me and I in Thee, that they also may be made one in us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent me. And the glory that Thou hast given me, I have given unto them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and Thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that Thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as Thou hast loved me. Now, who is He? Who's He talking about?
Yeah.
Romans 8:28. Let me just turn over and read it to you. Romans 8:28. Most of you can quote this. And we know that all things work together for the good to them. There they are. There they are. That's us. That God, to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose, for whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them, that's you and I,
yes, sir,
them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What are we going to say about this thing? What are we going to say about this?
Yeah.
We say, if God be for us, who can be against us?
Yeah.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up, how shall He not with Him freely give us all things? And that's exactly what He does. That's my second point. Psalms 68, verse 19. You can turn if you'd like to, but if you're not, I'll read it to you. It's a short one verse. Psalm 68, verse 19. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits.
Yeah. Amen.
Who daily loadeth us with benefits. What benefit is there in serving God? What benefit do we have? Well, time would run out for us to try to even tell them. Blessed and honor and glory be unto the Lord, who daily loadeth us with benefits. The one great benefit that we think about is His ascension. Him coming and taking my place. What a benefit. What a benefit it is for Him to come and die for me. It's one thing to die for a friend. It's one thing to take a penalty of another man. But oh, to come and be made sin, to take the place of another. What a benefit. What a benefit that is. Our Lord said, for I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which He has sent me. Of all which He has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise Him up again at the last day. What a benefit. What a benefit that. What a blessed benefit that is. The promise of eternal life in the Lord Jesus Christ. But the verse says, He loadeth us. Loadeth us means not just one, not just two, but all that we can handle. We have the benefits of God, and He does this daily, daily. Just as the children of Israel were in the wilderness, He gave them water to drink daily. He gave them manna to eat from heaven daily. He gave them quail to eat daily. So He daily loadeth us with His long-suffering, His mercy, His grace, His truth, His forgiveness. All these are benefits that we have, but we have them only in Christ.
Yeah.
He loadeth us daily with benefits. The Lord loadeth us with His mercy and favors daily, daily. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy is fresh every morning, every morning.
Yes.
Every day that we awake to another day, it's God's blessings upon us. We could have passed away in the night and went to be with the Lord, which is the most beneficial thing that I know of we can receive from Him. But while we're here, He loadeth us. He loadeth us daily with benefits. We are loaded down with all of God's blessings that you and I can handle. If God would bless us any more, we would probably be prideful. Oh, look at me. Look at me. Look what I've done. If God would bless us any more, and if He would bless us any less, we would be resentful. Why ain't He blessing me? But He loadeth us with all that you and I can handle. Some men have more blessings than others. Some men are blessed to sing, write songs, play instruments. Some are blessed to preach the gospel. Some are blessed just to hear. Just to hear. But all these blessings come to us in and through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Oh, in this life, we may struggle in this flesh. We may live from payday to payday. But not so in God. Not so in the blessings and the benefits of God. We have every spiritual blessing that you and I need. If we needed it, He would give it to us. We need an understanding of who God is. He gave it to us.
Yeah.
We need the blood of Christ to redeem us. He gave it to us. We need grace to look to Christ daily. He gave it to us. And He gives it to us. And if we live tomorrow, He'll give it to us tomorrow.
Yeah.
We need this thing of a strength to magnify and to praise and to honor the Lord. He gives it to us. He gives us a right mind to say, I am His and He is mine. Mr. Spurgeon said, God's benefits are not few nor light. They are loads. Neither are the intermittent, not just a few here and there, but they come daily. They come daily. Nor are they confined to one or two favors, but the whole church says, the Lord loadeth us daily with benefits. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just read down through here and listen to the benefits that God gives us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you have He quickened. What a benefit. What a benefit. And He quickened us from who we were dead in trespasses and sin.
Amen.
Wherein in time past we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as others, but God. What a benefit. But God, who is rich in mercy. Mercy to look to Christ. Mercy that forgives our sins. Mercy to sustain us daily, every day. What a benefit. And He did it for His great love. Oh, what a benefit, this great love He had towards us. Even when we were dead in sin, hath He quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. What a benefit this grace of God is. And has raised us up together. Oh, listen to what the Lord has done for us and is doing for us. And He's promised He will yet do for us. And has raised us up together. Made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. What benefits we have. What great mercy and grace we have in Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. A benefit, the gift of God. This thing of grace that saves us. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship. God has created us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. He has created us to good works, to honor, to magnify, to give glory and honor to the name of our God and our Savior. This is what we're here for, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. God ordered this way back there. I'm going to make you. I'm going to create you. I'm going to give you life. And you're going to, the first or the second, third, and fourth verse of this tells us exactly what we've done by nature. We went astray. We worked after the flesh. We lusted after the flesh until God says, that's enough.
Right.
That's enough. And then all these blessings begin to pile upon us, loading us with blessings day after day after day. And he has ordained this to take place. Wherefore, remember that you being Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, but that which is called circumcision, that simply means we're Jews and the Gentiles were circumcision, in the flesh made by hand, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, these benefits come to us now.
Yes.
Now in Christ Jesus, you who are sometimes far off are made nigh. We're made nigh to the point that we're sons of God. We're heirs of God. And we're joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. What benefits he's put upon us. What benefits he has daily loaded us with.
Yes.
For he is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinance, for to make himself twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile, that he might bring me to God. Meanwhile, God came to me, or I went to God. No, God came to you. God came to you. God was the offended one, but he was the reconciling one. You and I, left to ourselves, would never come to God. We would never approach God. We would never attempt to come and worship God. But God came to us and created life within us, put within us his Holy Spirit, causing us. We can't help but worship him. That's what the Spirit of God does. And we can't help it, although we at times fonder and fall and weak in the flesh. We don't worship him as we do. We should, but we do worship. We can't help it because the Spirit of God lives within us. And he came and preached peace to them which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access. What a benefit to have access to the very Spirit of God, to the very presence of God. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow servants, or fellow citizens, with the saints and with the household of God. How far has he brought us? He has brought us from being dead in trespasses and sin, to now we're seated on the high places of God. We're blessed with all holy blessings of God. What a God. What a God we have. This is who we are in Christ. With our daily benefits. Our daily benefits. We don't have time to mention atonement. Oh, being at one with God. Good, God's goodness. God's peace. God's love. But these are just some of the benefits we have from the Father. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits. Now here's a shocker. the third astonishing statement. We find it in Psalm 149 and verse 4. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people.
Amen.
Why did He do all this for us? The Lord taketh pleasure in His people. I dare not try to even explain that.
Yeah.
Why does God daily load me with benefits? The Lord taketh pleasure in His people. Why has He loved me as He loved His own Son? Because the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. And He showers upon us all the blessings of God in Christ Jesus. And we cry with the old hymn writer, how can it be that God should love a soul like me? Oh, how can it be? Only in Christ. Is this not astonishing to you and I? Don't we stand amazed to think of what God has done for wretched, vile, sinful creatures such as you and I? Let me read you a psalm. This is what I call Brother Rupert Reivenbach's song. Some of you may have heard him sing it. It's called In the Beloved. He says, In the Beloved accepted am I, risen, ascended, and seated on high, saved from all sin through His infinite grace, with the redeemed ones according a place. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace called me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, then He sees me, in the Beloved, accepted and free. In the Beloved, how safe my retreat, in the Beloved, accounted complete. Who can condemn me? In Him I am free, Savior and Keeper, forever is He. In the Beloved, I went to the tree, there in His person, by faith, I may see. Infinite wrath rolling over my head, infinite grace, for He died in my stead. In the Beloved, God's marvelous grace called me to dwell in this wonderful place. God sees my Savior, then He sees me. In the Beloved, accepted and free. Thank you.